Welcome to A Course in Miracles. There's a tool that the ego abuses and the Holy Spirit would love to use that we shall talk about tonight. There's a tool that's well within your grasp, but because of the way the world works, it's expensive sometimes. Maybe too expensive to use this tool. Welcome, Sharon. In the Holy Spirit's hands, it's a way to love. In the ego's hands, it's yet another contract, another conditional contract. Same thing. And this idea is to share. In the ego's hands, it's a contract. I'll share with you as long as, in the Holy Spirit's hands, I'll share with you because I love you. And it's easy. And it's unconditional. I want to share. Let's get our heads around, what does it mean to share? What does that mean? Because this is a method of mind. This is what one of the things that is a tool is at your disposal. Let's look at it. What does it mean to share? And this time when we're talking about share, it's not that you would volunteer to share. I'm not looking for that motion or action or willingness. This is not what I want you to look at tonight. What does it mean to actually be sharing? Look at that. What does it mean to share? What's happening while you are sharing? How does ownership come into sharing? When you are sharing, what do you have in common with another who is sharing the same thing? What do you have in common with someone else who is sharing the same thing? Take a moment now to pick a word or a phrase that describes that dynamic. If you're sharing something, give me, just pick one aspect of what it is going on with you is also going on with the other person sharing. Pick something. Let's get some insights on sharing. Lisa, what is it something, what are you doing that somebody else who is sharing something with you is also doing? What's going on? What's, give me a dynamic that's happening with both of you.
We're kind of mutually attached to the same thing.
Yes. Mutually attached to the same thing. It's key. It's happening. David.
Well, when you said that originally, two things came to me because they were just finished talking with Stefan about this subject, talking about not being connected, how we're always connected. So, you know, I remember that one thing I'll remember is the first time I got into the sharing thing, or it was actually me and Stefan, me and Rick, and when we were just like, I had an idea of something, we were eating this thing, and I said, well, this is what I think about it. I gave this idea to Stefan, I go, what do you think about it? And so Stefan gave me what he thought it was, and we took those two ideas, and I took mine and his, and made a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Took those two ideas together and made a new idea. Stefan did the same thing, and I ideas were like right here, and then they became a little closer to the same.
Yeah.
When we did this, it was like, it was the first time we were doing it, and I was like, whoa, every time I don't get something from something, I need it, I don't understand it, I'll just go ask anybody. I'll go ask Rick, and they'll go, I don't know what that is. And he just tells me what he thought it was. I'll get a better idea now. Uh-huh. Every time I share, I get a better idea if I look at what the other person uh-huh. is saying. Uh-huh. And then Stefan was, like we were talking about, and Stefan was going, wow, this is really cool about these ideas, you know.
So I hear what you just said,
yeah.
is when you share, you become open to what it is you're sharing.
Yes.
Not necessarily knowing all about it.
Yeah.
Sharing even the meaning.
Yeah, and Stefan brought this thing up. He goes, well, look what I'm sharing. Someone has learned this cool theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so by sharing it, you're talking about how you do it.
Yeah.
So if we're in the mode to share
yes.
the relationship,
yeah.
we get that knowledge. So whatever I know, he knows, he knows, I know.
Very good.
And he was talking about how cool that was, and we were getting yes. at that. Like, and it's like, boom.
You guys were walking side by side.
Yeah.
Very good. Bridget, what's something's happening when you're sharing something with somebody else? What's something you guys have in common? What's going on?
Kind of like a like-mindedness.
Uh-huh.
A joining of minds.
A joining.
Whether it's right-minded or not.
True enough.
And it comes maybe an experience.
Yeah.
You know, you put your input in of your maybe past experiences.
Yeah, yeah. But a like-mindedness mm-hmm. has to be occurring if you're sharing. Yeah.
You're joining.
It's true. Yeah, that's what David's doing in his effort. To share an idea is to get the like mind going. And Stefan says, I want to have like mind too. And you don't even necessarily know what it is until you consume.
So what you're saying is the end result of the sharing should be when they talk about how we communicate.
Uh-huh.
The communication they talk about in the book is should be the end result of sharing.
Yes.
Straight up.
Ultimately,
yeah.
the end result, David, is direct communication.
Exactly, yeah. Cool stuff.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Good. Kenny.
Yes.
What is something going on with sharing? What's going on when sharing is happening?
Well, at New Leaf, we share the same space, but we've got rules like, I'm not going to get too close to you, or, you know, like, I'll be a little rude, but not totally rude. We're meandering, making contact, but not always accepting.
That's interesting. Accepting, tolerant. You're going to be tolerant.
Tolerant, yeah.
But you have to be assertive if you're going to share, because you're doing your part.
Yeah.
And you have to expect the other person's going to be assertive because they're also there.
That's asserting.
So you're voluntarily being tolerant.
Yeah.
Knowing that when you share, there's going to be some stepping on toes that won't be seen as taking from you. Yeah, isn't that an interesting willful price you would pay? As David goes into this discussion with Stefan, and Stefan hasn't yet met him on the topic, because he didn't say his topic perfectly either, but their willingness to share goes in, they start to share, and the ideas start to swarm around, and he's tolerant of Stefan not getting it. Stefan is tolerant of him not saying it. You're a New Leaf, tolerant of the person doing what they gotta do to get their stuff done, and you expect them to be tolerant of you doing what you have to do. Somebody has to be first. We all know it. We accept that. That's good, huh? Right? If you're really sharing, you accept that. If you're really sharing, whoever is that is first, they are first in your experience, even though it isn't you.
isn't sharing also like if you want, if you're in a subject and you think you got it, by sharing it with another one, it's kind of like verifies that it's totally the right answer.
Really nicely, nicely said. Yet another really good point.
And it's like the only way to really get the end result.
Yeah. Sharing is a witnessing of receiving.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Hmm. Yeah, very good. Very good. Michaeline, what's going on with sharing?
Well, some of it's been said. For me, the first thing that came up is in joining with someone to extend and accept.
Yeah,
extend my being.
Wow.
Like, it could be a thought, but it could also be where I am.
Yes.
It could just be a moment.
Wow, are you talking about vulnerability?
Yes.
Accepting
100% what is.
Accepting what is. And both of you are doing that when you're
and
sharing.
And extending.
Willfully.
Yes.
Without defending. Mm-hmm. Wow. Willfully vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But not needing to be defending, so that's easier to be vulnerable. Without fear. What a great place to be in mm-hmm. when you're sharing. That sounds like living.
Yeah.
Interacting. Yeah.
Nice to stay there all the time, but it's not quite easy.
Yeah. Julie, what's happening with sharing?
So like for me, the example that came to mind is volunteering with hospice patients and the letting go of my own needs and wants to, like, well, a lot of times my need and want becomes just to be there, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like giving up whatever plan or ideas or expectations that I have to just be present with someone. And so the other example that came to mind was just a really good conversation. Like, you know, sharing just a really good conversation.
What is happening
walk away and be on a high.
In a really good conversation that is goes into a high? Right? Everybody's had one of those, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. We have. Yes. What is going on there, Julie? Wow! Something
two
great.
People connect. They like just get.
I want to know
synergy.
There's this inner. I want to know synergy. Because that's one of the greatest things in life. I think it's so intimate. This thing you brought up. Mm-hmm. It's so alive. These are precious moments to be alive when that's going on.
I think it's similar though to the hospice patient because it's like you're get excited about the conversation, not about what I'm gonna say or what my opinion is, or you know, it's just you're just
excited
loving,
about the conversation.
The conversation.
It.
It's not
it mm-hmm. now. The thing you're sharing is developing more important than what you would give or take from it. Wow, it's bigger than the, you're both contributing like David was talking mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. Wow. Something's being created and you don't even know where it's going, but it's going good.
Exactly, yeah.
That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful sharing. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Yeah, good living. Luann, what's going on with sharing?
This is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to sit and figure out for myself that you brought up in these first parts.
Mm, yeah.
So what I wanted to go to was a sharing, of course, that doesn't have a contract.
Mm.
And what came up for me was the only thing that I have that doesn't have a contract that I can share, and I don't think give is the right word, I think it's share, is what the other person has,
mm-hmm.
which is they own it, I own it, we both own it because it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to say this exactly right, but the only thing that I know that we have in common is what I'm learning from the book is being on a path that God has created for us to follow, to become one with Him again, to know our oneness with Him.
Mm. That's shareable because
it's given to us.
It's given. It's real.
Yeah.
It's. So you're both meeting in something that's real. That's given.
And the hard part about that is I don't know when I'm doing that and when I'm not. Hmm. Sometimes I feel like I am, and sometimes I don't.
Right.
That's the hard part.
This will be an invitation for you to learn to share. What a wonderful invitation.
I want to be on the same path, not necessarily on the same place.
Yeah.
But on the same path.
Yeah.
And I can even learn, and it turns out, like the book, we learn the same, we read the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where somebody is on that path, I'm still sharing that with them.
Nice.
Just like they're sharing wherever I am on that path, then we're sharing the path.
Yes. Isn't that a great thing about when we meet here in this room? We get people been here for 10 years, people been here for 10 months or 10 weeks, and yet we're all coming here to share the same thing. I think that's beautiful what you just said. We're different places, we have different needs, different understandings, and yet this thing we have in common is held to be useful and valuable, and we each celebrate each other's reception of it. And the more it does for us, the more we hope it does for somebody else.
And it feels real because on some level, down...
Hey, Ray.
Sometimes it's not obvious, but some level...
Hey, Kenny.
I know.
Hey.
Yes. It's nice. Yes. Truly given. Yes. Truly given.
Whether we get on it or not is up to us.
If it comes from the truth and it's truly available... It's not a bad definition of God in my book. Yeah. Mary, what is going on when sharing is happening?
Well, as I've thought about it, I keep changing the description. But I'm thinking about sharing our humanity, which includes, and perhaps what's really happening, is sharing our spirit with another person, being open to sharing, to caring about them, and sharing something that I would... Let's them know who I am.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, something of value is happening.
It certainly feels like it. Yeah. It's and we think about it afterwards when it happens.
Yeah.
It's important enough. Days later, you think, that magic took place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Julie's conversation. Mm-hmm. When you're in an intense conversation with a friend and something is, you're connected and thinks this conversation is becoming more than either of you. Something magic happens. Something of value is occurring. A worthwhile sharing has occurred. Nice. Zoe, what's happening when sharing is going on?
Due to the fact that I arrived late...
Oh, you want an excuse? What do you see what Ray has to say?
No, I don't want an excuse. I'm just having my own interpretation, you know, of sharing. And so I would like an explanation of what the Course in Miracles calls sharing. Not to give me a base to begin with, because I know for me, when I have intimate conversations, there's a calmness and a peace and excitement at the same time.
Calmness, peace, and excitement at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know for me, connection is an important word.
Connection.
And so sharing is an exchange of where we are, who we are, where we're going, you know, that sort of thing.
Calmness, excitement, exchange, connection, beautiful.
And just to know that, like when you were talking about that, the sweetness of just knowing that something amazing is happening, it's kind of like, oh gosh, I want to bottle it. You know? Mm-hmm. What's the secret here? And it's for me, it's when people are being vulnerable. You know, both people are being vulnerable and they're not afraid to speak, freely about, who they are.
Beautiful. I think that's a wonderful experience of sharing. All of that, what you just said. Yeah?
The word intimacy has come up a couple of times. And, for me, it's extremely important to say it syllable by syllable, a shared into me see.
Nice. Into me see. Mm-hmm. Nice. Sharon, what's happening?
It's actually pretty good.
It's kind of cool. Isn't it? Yeah, it's yeah. Kind of cool. Yeah.
Just openness, but I didn't. You brought up a good point. It's like, oh yeah, it does, it can go either good or bad. But I just thought about just openness, like, you know, I don't expect anything, I'm not trying to contrive anything, I'm just open to it, and that's, for me it's rare, but, it's just like, oh, yeah, okay. And yeah, the good conversation's the same thing, if you get that going, you get just that hum going on, it's like, oh my god, this is amazing, you know?
And there's no defending going
there's
on?
There's no nothing, I'm not
the expectations are not there?
Yeah, that's a hard one for me. Because I'm all about contrast. But,
I'm working on it.
Okay.
But yeah, but that's just not expecting anything, just being, I guess, present and open. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's going on with sharing, for sure.
Yeah.
That's why they call you Sharon. I couldn't wait to say that. Oh, God.
Is that on that?
Yeah, rim shot. Ray, what's going on when sharing is occurring? If you're sharing something with somebody else, just pick anything. Anything at all. What's going on with you and this other person when you're sharing something?
Exchange, for one thing. My mind goes whoop, and then I get both ends of sharing. Like, you know, there's the love part of sharing.
Well, let me challenge you with this then.
Okay.
If you're sharing a pizza with somebody,
yeah.
What are both of you, what's going on in the two people who've come together to share the same pizza? Pick anything.
Communion?
There's a communion? You've come to the same place. You're both disparate focuses have come together onto one point. Sharing that pizza. That's sharing is going on. Each has met in the same place. Yes. They all apply to what we're talking about tonight. Everything applies.
They're both loving the pizza.
They're loving the pizza.
They're both loving the
pizza.
Pizza
lovers.
Yeah, I love that pizza, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they must both want the
they
pizza.
They want more.
It's yeah. Like the acronym TEAM. Together, everyone achieves more.
Nice. Okay, turn to page 432 in the text. And we're jumping in on paragraph 3. Page 432 in the text. This is a section called Entering the Ark. Entering the ark, once you're inside of which you will be transported. Once you're in, Lisa, you want to read for us?
Sure.
Paragraph 3.
Your insane laws were made to guarantee that you would make mistakes and give them power over you by accepting their results as your just due. What could this be but madness? And is it this that you would see within your Savior from insanity? He is as free from this as you are, and in the freedom that you see in him, you see your own. For this is your share. What God has given follows his laws and his alone. Nor is it possible for those who follow them to suffer the results of any other source.
Okay. So, in the Course in Miracles, one of the biggest gifts that we get from this book is how to deal in relationship to the other. Some other person, usually. Some other. How to reconcile that with love? When it seems like, at least when things get tough, we're in competition for something. One of the huge gifts of A Course in Miracles, one of the vectors of its teaching throughout the whole book, is to be able to see what it calls your brother as your Savior. So many times you will read, as you see him, you shall see yourself. So many times. Because this is a door that you can walk through that the ego does not want to go through. But if you are willing to go through, you will have to leave your ego behind. Isn't that great? It's like a filter, isn't it? How sweet is that? Jesus has identified this because it's the last thing the ego would do. So easy way to clear your mind is to make you join and share in this way. Your brother and you have the same purpose, even though he may be the assholy one in your life that is really a hard time forgiving. It's in this book from end to end.
Can I ask a practical question?
Yeah, sure.
So, I love my brother, he's fantastic. But, so let's say I have a really horrible brother, and so I'm just being. I'm being open, and I'm trying to do whatever. I'm not okay. Trying to expect anything. I'm trying to have a conversation, whatever you have.
All right.
And it's not received or receptive. How do I stay not angry that it's always rebuked?
Yes. Key.
How?
Yes. Yes. You've got the right book.
Okay.
You've got the right book.
Okay. But do I keep trying, or do I just let it be and just be when you're ready, I'm ready kind of thing?
Okay, so the first thing that you would do is set the goal before you engage with that person.
That it's going to be successful.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, the goal is not that it's successful. Hey, anybody here? You can answer. Anybody here can answer this question. Michaeline, what's the goal?
Okay, the goal is to see the peace that I aspire for in that my brother. No matter what my brother's thinking, doing, or saying,
yeah.
I'm going to look past that garbage and see that, and join that other part of him that is
that doesn't
innocence.
Exist yet.
His innocence.
Okay.
His innocence. Give me another goal that you would set before you get in a, quote, heated conversation.
So whenever what I've been learning now is when something like this happens, what I do is there's two people I could talk to.
Yes.
The ego or the loving person.
Yep.
So I want.
Good.
So I always want to understand, because when I first heard this, where the Holy Spirit, someone's cacking, the Holy Spirit sits back in it, does nothing, says nothing, because, and I go like, whatever, that just don't feel right. But it's what he's doing is the ego's talking and he's insane.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's doesn't exist. It's a freaking illusion. Why in the world would you respond to it? Because then I realize that when I respond to it, it's made it real. Now we got an argument.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he was talking about. So you don't respond. You literally got to see that and you got to kind of realize that it is insane and there's nothing. Once that is part of my belief, then it's peaceful. I can
for
strangers
sure,
on the streets can be madder than hell, give me, try to give me crap, and so, I could care less.
For sure, but you're not going to react to anything you can identify as the ego.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you may respond.
Now, someone like a friend or my wife yes, might get mad at me. Oh, yes, I respond to that, but you know what I mean? It's just like, but well, I got attached to it.
But you must not get attached and react.
Yeah,
right?
So that's what I have to figure out.
So what's the goal before you go into a heated conversation?
Choose peace for your own mind.
You're gonna choose peace before you get into the heated conversation.
Okay.
And guess what? You have the full power and ability to choose peace for you before you get in the conversation. That's easy.
And you can ask the Holy Spirit's help.
Mm-hmm. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you respond appropriately from peace, which would be your goal, before you get in the conversation. Anybody else want to throw in a nice goal before you get in a conversation? Yes?
Would you like me to tell them what you told me tonight?
Yes.
Do you really need to be heard by that person?
Yes! Get honest! What is this conversation for? Is this for you to be heard? Do you need to be heard? Is that what this is? Check
it out.
You're
being right.
Bingo! Do you need to be right? Is that why you're showing up in this quote, air quote, conversation, which is a two-way street? You want to make it a one-way street? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
The practice makes it easier.
I'm just curious.
And being responsible.
But this is the way you bust the ego in these difficult conversations.
And the ego hates it.
That.
It's only uncomfortable thinking about doing it. When it actually happens, you're in peace.
Nice job.
So that's the difference.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it right now. It's like,
yeah.
I think if I was actually in it, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, the maybe goes away when you get what we're saying.
Yeah.
Why does it maybe go away when she's going to be in the conversation?
Because I'm doing it.
That's not real.
Because you're going to set the goal before it happens. That means that if you choose peace, if you choose sharing, if you choose to be
acceptance,
heard as well as hear, if you choose acceptance before this ugly conversation, it will begin to happen before the conversation starts. Only if you drop that goal will it be anything else. This is so important. It's in chapter 16, by the way. Page 365 is the beginning of the section. It's so important. It's so practical. It's called setting the goal. It's in the holy special. It's in the special relationship section of the book, which is, you know, chapter 14, 15, and 16. So important, because what it talks about is that the ego has it backwards. The ego says this. It says, you need to have the conversation first. You need to say what you're going to say. They need to say what they're going to say. And you add up the score and decide how you feel.
But it doesn't really feel
That's what the ego says.
Yeah. Decide if you won or not.
Decide if you won or not.
It doesn't feel right.
Were you respected or not? Did you get your way or not? Oh my God, the menu's huge and difficult and chaotic. Course in Miracles says, listen, the way you approach a relationship, it's an inside job with the Holy Spirit. You go in with the goal set. Peace is a great goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing is a great goal. I'm here to be loving. I'm here to be truly helpful. Next time I talk to my brother, I just want to be truly helpful. Whatever that takes. Feels good to me. This changes your pace going in the conversation. Don't let the goal go because they open their mouth. This is about you. So you can be helpful, you can be peaceful, you can be loving, you can be sharing. That's your side of the street. That's your part. And those are good parts to play, aren't they?
And be stubborn about it.
Be stubborn about being peaceful. Be stubborn about being loving. Be stubborn about being tolerant. Be stubborn about you being the one who's telling the truth. Stay with that, no matter what.
Okay.
It's so tempting to throw in a little... Yeah. Nope, you're going to stay the course. And this is how you do it.
Well, it's like I was wanting to share. I was looking at you because I experience similar situations because I'm a magnet for assholes. And I got on the airplane from my trip. And I sat down, and this couple gets on the plane, and they've got a little dog, and, you know, we started a conversation, and then people were boarding the plane, and I don't know what set this person off, but we were having a fun, laughing conversation, and then all of a sudden, he started a political conversation. And the minute he started, his voice got really loud. And I went into my, panic mode. He's not going to shut up, and I don't want to hear it.
What a great contrast.
Yeah. So what did you do?
And, well, I said, I was sharing. I says, you know, I avoid conversations about politics because it leads to dissension, or it could lead to dissension. He says, well, what about the government? What about the kids? And what about this? I said, I'm not big enough to change that. What do you suggest, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then I engaged.
You're engaged, yeah.
You know, and then so I realized I was engaged, and then usually I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk right now. I'm going to focus on getting prepared for the flight or whatever. But
yeah.
I just
but this is a good contrast because there's a situation where you do not want to share.
Yeah,
you are over the pizza, right? You've already showed up at this point where you're both in the same place, and yet you want to do the opposite because you honestly you don't want to share. That's a very interesting contrast to help us understand how sweet it is to be sharing, which is the holy relationship, is when you're in, you're both sharing. You're leaning in to the same thing versus now we want to defend and get out. That's very interesting contrast.
Well, what I actually did is that, you know, I have this compulsion to explain myself. I mean, I have had in the past, or, you know.
Oh, you're a mark for this guy.
I was the perfect target. And he actually kept talking after I had turned around and wasn't saying a word. And then, you know, the thought came to me, I thought, what is it about me thinking I want to engage with people that want to argue?
Okay, well, let's look into this a little more on the sharing aspect.
Okay.
Look at page 142. 142 in the front of the book.
Yeah, in that works for me. Front of the book.
All right, front of the book.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Every single line is on
the book. We come here often because this is a key paragraph that kind of helps quickly get at this huge vector of A Course in Miracles. We could spend a whole weekend talking about this. We tried. We spent a whole day talking about this once, and it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
But check this out. So, Dave, do you have to bat?
Yeah, what number?
Read number 4.
That was the one that I zeroed in on. 4.
Number 4.
Okay. When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself.
And by the way, I should introduce this paragraph as the fine print. The fine print of you and your enlightenment.
Oh, by the way.
By the way, this is going to be the truth. You're going to love this eventually as you become enlightened, whenever that happens. You're going to love the truth of this that will now make you oh so uncomfortable if you're not yet enlightened. Oh, that's what fine print's about. By the way. This is what you're signing up for. David, would you start again after that little introduction?
When you meet anyone, remember, it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this. For in him, you will find yourself or lose yourself.
Wow. You will find yourself or in him, as you look at him, you will lose yourself. This sounds really important. This is the razor's edge. This is the razor's edge of understanding. You tip one way, you lose. You tip the other way, you gain. You win.
Only if he wins, though.
Oh, no. This is all about you. In him, you will find yourself or you will lose yourself. Nothing to do with him. It's you. You will find yourself or you will lose yourself.
Which means engaging is a way of losing yourself.
It could be. It could be the way to find yourself. In Julie's conversation, I want to engage more. How can I get more into a conversation where it's going so great that we're discovering the truth as we speak? Each other is contributing something, an insight into what I had, they had even clearer, which I modified, and now they got it better. And oh my God, can this ever end? It's a crescendo of understanding.
It brings joy.
It brings joy because there's creation happening, understanding happening, enlightenment is occurring, truth is occurring as we engage. Or if you're fighting with the engagement and you're trying to take something with each jab, that engagement will destroy you and you will lose yourself.
But she's minding her own business and she's being like just overwhelmed. How? Okay, so, and it says here, sorry Dave, it says here that I do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. Yeah, you're going to nod like that. So, what if I just want to sit in my seat and grab a magazine? I mean, how do I...
Set that goal ahead of time before you get on the airplane and don't let it down. And you know what you're going to do?
No.
You will sit in your seat with a magazine the whole flight. If you drop the goal and you don't read the magazine or sit in your seat, engage. She engaged.
Yeah, but then so how do you both find salvation when you're just like he's just so intent on whatever? How does she get out of it alive and still both of you get salvation? To me, it's like you guys are linked.
Yep.
Either you both lose or you both win.
This is an inside job, and it's about you and yourself, not about the other person. Check it out. There's more to be heard in these paragraphs.
I have an example, though. Like, and I don't do this all the time, but I can tell you, I've had like people, like you know. Staff I supervise, like directly what anyone else would be perceiving as an attack or very aggressive behavior, like communicating with me. And I can actually, because of knowing and having practiced this book a few times, part of the lessons, it's like I've been able to at times just drop into that quiet, peaceful place to myself and hold that space for the both of us and just witness what is occurring and understand that, you know, what I want here is peace or what I want here is love. I'm not pretending to send love out. I'm just sitting there and kind of being a little bit more the observer, and I nod and I say, "Huh, like, wow, that's a lot." Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's still things that I say.
Yes.
But it's like I'm not
present. You're present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not like freaking out. Usually it starts with freaking out, and then I think, okay, I'm just here right now, and this is what it is, so yeah. What am I going to do? And I take a breath, and I just try to go to that space.
Yeah.
And it gets easier the more times that I've done it. I've also been in like a couples counseling situation where I'm like in total tears, and then I just go to that same space, and I actually can be in this dialogue joyful. Like, I did not know I could go from tears to joy so quickly. But it is possible. It is possible, like, because it isn't about the other person, as Andrew's saying. It's just about, like, how do I want to be right now? Because this is what it is. Like, I'm not actually changing this.
Yeah.
And
let's get another practical example real quick out of one of the lesson titles. Mm-hmm. Flip to... I just want you to see it. Lesson number 5 on page 8 in the middle of the book, in the back of the book, not all the way back, right in the middle. This is the way Julie can sit in a meeting when somebody walks and slams the door behind them and says, "I need to say this to you right now." You all there?
Not yet.
Chapter 5.
Page 8.
Lesson 5.
It's page 8 on the bottom and lesson 5 on the top. Should I say it that way? Because you got two numbers. Did you say lesson 8?
No, that's going to be more confusing.
Page 8.
What page is it?
Page 8.
Okay, page 8.
It's page 8 in the lesson.
What lesson is it?
5.
What page is that on?
8.
I swear, I do not know how to do this.
Any one of these lessons is good. I don't know.
That's why you did the intensive. I hand them out. I give you a piece of paper that's got it already printed on it in the intensive. So we can rock through it. Right? Because we're going to do 50 references.
These thoughts didn't mean anything there.
Look at this. Look at this lesson title. I'm never upset for the reason I think. Mm-hmm. Jesus has chosen for you to spend one whole day of your life thinking, understand, really getting a grip that you're not upset for the reason you think. Whole day. It's huge. Sharon. If that's true, and if you think about the first 4 lessons, nothing I see means anything. Whoa, that's huge. Well, I've given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. After all, this is my life. Yeah. I see only the past. My mind's preoccupied with past thoughts. I see nothing as it is now. Well, yeah, you don't get it. If you're stuck in the past over something that doesn't mean anything that you made up in the first place. Really? What opinion do you have? Honestly? Come on. So, if you're upset, it's over nothing that you understand. Lesson number 5. If you've done the first 4 lessons, honestly, you're not upset for the reason you think. It's because you don't feel love. Not because he took more than half of the pizza and we said we were here to share. What, you taking one home? Was that part of our agreement? Because you have kids, you get to take 2 more pieces than me? What? What?
You got kids, that's it.
Kids? Take that kid's excuse. How many times have I been steamrolled by somebody with kids? God. You think you're upset because of the pizza? It's so important because this is fundamental understanding of what the ego, how the ego's operating.
Could have put her up for adoption.
If you're
right,
can,
kids make all the difference. You should have two extra meetings.
If you can honestly arrive for yourself now, for you, that you're not upset for the reason that you think. You're upset, all right. There's no doubt about it, right? The blood's boiling.
Yeah.
But if you do those first four lessons, and honestly, then you do this one, you'll go, busted! Oh my God! I'm so excited about something, and it's not what I'm saying it is.
I haven't been able to comprehend.
Well, I understand. Well, believe me, nobody said this stuff was easy.
You know, like it.
But, Zoe, would you agree it's simple?
The idea is simple.
The idea is simple.
The idea is simple, but it's kind of like I've come to understand that every upset I have is created the same way I reacted as a child with my family, because...
Well, hold on, Zoe. Turn back. Turn back. To actually, he has to turn forward, I think. Turn forward to lesson number 7. What's that title?
That's what I'm saying.
What are you saying out loud for? Say it out loud for us.
I only see the past.
Okay, great. And then, what's the next lesson title?
The next one is My Mind... Oh, yeah, my mind.
Oh. And then what's the next lesson title?
Oh, my goodness.
Sure.
I see nothing as it is now.
You're so busted. You're just lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself about the present. Yeah. By letting the past tell you what's going on.
Can I read in 10?
Yeah.
Ten for 10.
Read it in.
My thoughts do not mean anything.
Oh, yeah.
I'm upset because I see a meaningless world.
Well, what's number 3?
All meaning it is.
God.
Isn't this what you mean, though? The key to this that you have said before for me is we're always living in the past. Even what seems like the present is really the past one split second later.
That is the best you could possibly achieve in this world.
Yeah.
That's right. Big insight. Big factual insight. You can't get around it. But it'll distract us a bit too much right now.
They need to repeat it.
We had fun with time one night, and we got deep into the fact of how you live, but we don't want to be distracted right now because we're tonight's message is way too important to drop and be derailed. So, if you don't see anything as it is now, if your mind's preoccupied with past thoughts, and you know it is, you don't see anything as it is now, you're lying to yourself about now. If you see only the past, if you're upset.
I'm a liar.
Well, what's number 6?
It's okay if you lie to yourself.
What's number 6?
Number 6. I didn't memorize it.
That's all right.
Number 6.
It kind of helps to slow it down a little bit and turn a few pages.
Yeah, I am upset because I see something that is not there.
Not.
Which is the Bear. Illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm calling you a liar. In the nicest possible way among friends. But you need to hear this. Because if you were only telling the truth, you would be happy. So, back to... And so, you have to digest some of that. And the workbook will really help you do it. Back to Sharon. Going back to lesson 5. I'm never upset for the reason I think. Come on.
It's what that guy's saying. That's why I'm upset.
Yeah, really, right? Because what he says about me, that's why I'm upset. Because, yet again, another person with kids is more important than me and got more pizza than I. And yet, I came in here thinking we were going to share. Oh, right? So complex.
I don't feel loved enough.
Right?
That's it.
Truth.
That's what it filters down to.
Truth. Truth.
Nobody loves me.
Truth. Okay? Now, not willing to say that, though, over pizza and in public. But the fact is, whatever you're really upset about becomes very simple and very common throughout your whole life and with everybody else. Okay? Yeah. Please look at that again. I am never upset for the reason I think when I am upset. It's very easy for Jesus to say, because he knows all about upset means you're an ego.
And it's really tough. I had a moment that I got very upset in a way that I hadn't felt upset in a very long time.
Aha.
And I was in with a group of people, and it wasn't that anything was said.
Yes.
It wasn't anything I could pinpoint. But I had that feeling.
That feeling showed up, right?
It just showed up out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to find out why. And then I remembered I wouldn't know why I'm upset.
Yes.
And it was just an amazing thing that we're like
Good.
Even talking about this
Good.
Tonight. Because
you have
like for like 20 minutes I'm like, so why am I upset?
Uh-huh.
And then it hit me.
Yes.
I just don't know. And it's
you
like,
have permission
yeah.
to forgive yourself in that moment.
Yeah.
And that will bring you back to the right line.
And it went away. And that anxiety went away.
And it just goes away. And that is what salvation is. Another big S word that you said a minute ago, reading. Salvation means that you awaken to the fact that you can give it up as easily as you made it up.
But not my ego's playing games with me when I'm allowing my ego to...
And when you do give it up, when you ask the Holy Spirit to say, just take a breath, of sanity and say, I don't need to be upset. I think I'd rather be happy than right. I'd rather be happy now than no.
That's really what it boiled down to.
The complex formula that makes me upset. I think I'd rather be happy right now instead. Okay? When you understand lesson 236, when you lesson number 34, when you understand these things that the power is in your hands, mm-hmm. you can forgive in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have the freedom that you said you got to, and you know it because you've done it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, never underestimate the ego and its ability to put a little bit of cortisol in your blood.
Whoa, yeah.
Okay, and forgive that too. Now back to Sharon's critical question, which puts us all on the spot. How do you handle it when you're knee-deep in insults and raised voices and a sweating brow and eyes looking right at you and four-letter words mixed in? Lesson number 5. I'm never upset for the reason I think. When you really, really get there, and after those first 4 lessons, that's 4 days of your life, folks, that you've spent on some very simple principles that even the ego can't argue with, and you get to number 5, and you understand this deeply, you may now understand that that person you're dealing with is never upset for the reason they think either. Right? If it's true for you, it's true for them, and they're not going to admit it because they've got this big, long speech to give you of why. Don't worry.
Yeah, they don't know either. So
they don't know either. So how mad should you be about what they're saying?
Nothing.
You know what? Hang with them. Like Julie says, she goes to these people, they're dying for crying out loud, and her only job is to be present. And that's love.
Mm-hmm.
That's her there being truly helpful in a situation that she's not going through. She's not dying that day.
Yep.
So far. Yeah. So that's the clarity you get. It's very, very simple. It may not be so easy if you don't do the first 4. Forgiveness, by the way, is what we're talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't forgiveness releasing their...
You're saying the exact same lesson to the entire book.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's the same thing for the entire book.
The entire book.
It's so different, a little different way. Kind of full.
A million different ways.
A million different ways.
Oh, yeah.
And we still play around with it because our egos just don't want to.
When it gets personal,
yeah.
The ego will find ways to make you ignore A Course in Miracles.
So true.
But that's where the miracle of your own enlightenment is waiting to be found. That's why this is a shortcut.
Yeah.
if you can call in the Holy Spirit and what you've learned with this during the worst moments of your life, you will find yourself in spiritual air. Like Michaeline described, you just, the stress went away once you went, oh, wait a minute.
That's cool.
I could choose peace instead of this. I know exactly how to do that.
Before that moment, though, and it was a moment.
Yes.
Before that moment, though, it was all about trying to figure it out, which is total ego.
Ego.
The minute busted. I try to figure out something.
Yes.
It's ego. It's not ego, and it's disruptive, and it's not peaceful, and it just...
There's a clever sentence in this book. It says, the ego analyzes, comma, the Holy Spirit accepts.
Right.
It's easy to accept that they're all hot because they're not upset for the reason they think. They're frustrated. They're not feeling loved. And it's coming out with a bunch of four-letter words and a bunch of things out of the past, and your name is mixed in there, too. But if you understand that it's not an attack...
Let it wash over and just
it's so much easier. You could actually show up and be helpful rather than defending and causing a fight. It's sure better for you.
Well, I've seen it happen, not with me, but I've seen it happen where it's just something is so ridiculously heated and all of a sudden it dissolves into nothing and there's right. friendship and it's like
there's
what the
friendship
just happened, and it's, just, yes. it's amazing. And I think it's yes. the same thing, and it's just like,
yes, it is.
Well, this is better.
Yes, it is.
Because you don't have to have that lasting hate, like, oh, he did this or he did that.
You know
like,
what happened?
I don't know. I watched it. I was just amazed.
Honesty happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both sides
acceptance.
Met and shared honesty. Mm-hmm. In this book, honesty means that what you're thinking is what you say and what you do. Your face matches the words, matches your thoughts, and you can tell when that's happening. And then you feel it's contagious. Now the honesty showed up, you feel like being honest. So your face matches what you've been thinking and the words match what's on your face, and they can see it and hear it and feel it all at the same time, because it's honest, because it's consistent with the truth in you. Even if it's not something they want to hear, they say, I just heard you.
It's true.
I like what I heard, but I like that you said it honestly. And now I will tell you what I'm really thinking. And it's a little vulnerable for me to admit this, but this is why. Friends, sharing has occurred.
Yeah.
And the ego's been kicked out. Okay? That's exactly how it works. Beautiful. Thank you. Bringing that full circle. Now, please turn back to page 142 because there's some really great meat on here. David, you were mid-paragraph, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation.
Just right on the heels of what Sharon was talking about. They got a chance at salvation. Remember, salvation in this book is understanding the freedom you have in the moment to understand that you made it up and you can give it up or make up some more. Salvation means you're not a victim. And now you would live that way. This is the personal empowerment you've always wished you had, and it turns out you've always had it.
It's like Dorothy's shoes.
Yeah.
She didn't need to take. She had it all the time.
David, please continue.
Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself.
Wow. This is a command.
So,
this is a command. This is telling you what to do, which is the title of our intensive.
You know, I had an experience when I was talking about it, and it might be similar to this, but I had a person that was going on and on about, he was all pissed about something going on. Mm-hmm. And I remember that those first lessons just kind of popped up, and, you know, like, it's not what he's telling me. The person, I just said, dude, you all right?
Yeah, nice.
Freaking the conversation changed. He wasn't all right. He just and we had a cool conversation about what was happening in life. And it just went, wow.
Just like that.
It just came. The whole thing just, remember that thing? Answer this, this came out.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, are you all right?
Yeah.
Is open-mindedness.
But I realized that what the whole thing was not what's happening. So yeah. Hell yeah, that's all I can say.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
And it works.
Look at that sentence again. Do not lead anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself.
So it's still about only you, even though it seems like a contractual agreement that I have to
give him something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So guess what?
I only do it when I'm doing it myself.
A Course in Miracles, everything we do in this book, it turns out to be an inside job. So as you understand that you're never upset for the reason you think, that's your salvation in the moment. If your blood starts boiling out of nowhere, peaceful Michaeline is driving down the road. She rolls out her window and sticks out her middle finger, which we know you did. You admitted that one night. Such a pleasant, peaceful, loving person as Michaeline. With the same arm that hugged me, she flipped off somebody else. That's right.
That was some time ago.
Right, okay.
Chapters ago. Right.
She is healed now. But this just happens, right?
Yeah.
That happens. You know, you're not upset. You have to admit it. You've got to admit it. The thing that would drive you to do that, it's not the reason you think, ostensibly.
Well, it wasn't because that guy was going too slow.
He was going...
I feel you.
We share your
that
pain.
That was beating right up on it.
We share your pain. Yeah. Now, that would give you salvation, see? For you to recognize you're all upset, like Michaeline did, and to say, wait a minute, I'm doing this to me for no good reason. I'm upset, I'm mad, I'm closed-minded, I'm starting to feel like arguing, I want to make this person's day rotten. And I don't, and I'm not going to. And then her next breath is free. No, her next breath is free. And you saw the look on her face, right? She says, wait a minute, and everything got better. This is the power of forgiveness. It starts and stops inside your head. It works because you know how a miracle works. A shift in perception about the whole stinking situation. And lesson number 5 is an example of a miracle. When you recognize you're not upset for the reason you think when you're upset, isn't that a miracle? Mm-hmm. It looks like you're upset over that thing. No, wake up. Holy Spirit says, hey, what I tell you? Lesson 5. You go, oh, yeah. I don't even have to
read it.
This is like the third, fourth time.
All right, who's our cat person? Would you lovingly take that cat outside?
She knows she's going to be put out.
Katrina is her name.
Oh, that's helpful.
Hurricane.
Oh. Hurricane.
Nice. You're kitty, kitty.
That was the under the breath name.
Living this close to a lot of gulch, do you have coyotes that get on the street sometimes?
Yeah.
Does the cat know how to handle that?
I was inside.
She does.
She's
can you smell them before something before they get in?
Unless she hears them.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love her face.
Yeah.
So a shift in perception happens with so much of this book, right? But you have to recognize them. That Jesus is calling you out to have a miracle in your own life. And when you do, that's your salvation. Do you see? That you would recognize you're upset and you don't have to be.
Okay, so I just clue in and I get it. Okay. Alright. Then...
But I'm saying... Well, and no, I guess you haven't... Yeah, you haven't done the workbook yet.
No.
To really own this. But this is what happens. Because it's at the level the ego can't argue with. It's so amazing. As Zoe was talking about her past, these are just lesson titles. We didn't go through the whole lesson, but it busted down the way she was feeling victimized by her past and found out she was just lying to herself. So
I made it up so I can give it up.
That's it, girl. That's it, girl.
That's a good thing.
That's it. That's salvation. That is salvation. Wow. So, how do you give that to your brother? You don't tell your brother. Shake him. Hey, you made this up. Quit yelling so loud. You're lying to yourself. No. You learn how to duck if that happens is your next spiritual move.
I just be present and then...
yourself.
You understand your brother by understanding yourself. Because in him, you will find yourself or you will lose yourself. Let's just stick with lesson number 5. If you're not upset for the reason you think and speak of and argue about, neither is he. You can calm down now. You know what? You can also calm down for him. Mm-hmm. This is going to blow over because he's not really upset for all what he's saying. He's got other issues. Mm-hmm. And I hope he gets help. But for now, I'm not going to escalate it because I know that he's not upset for the reason he thinks, and neither have I been. That will de-escalate and you have a chance for the honesty you spoke about. Okay? Let's continue. So much great stuff to cover in the next minutes.
For I'm always there with you in remembrance of you.
Yes. Isn't that key? For I am always there in the meeting place. In the sharing that Sharon would do as she owns her lesson number 5 and brings it to the argument. This sanity, this is what Christ's vision is. When you see through the ugly appearance the ego is showing you, and you see the innocence, that's what he means by I will be there. That's what being there, having the truth being there.
So is. Everyone is innocent.
Amen, sister. Truthfully? Mm-hmm. That's true. You too. You too!
Especially me.
Yeah! Well, this goes on. Bridget, would you read for us number 5?
The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself.
What are the two teachers that we can choose from?
The Holy Spirit and Jesus.
The Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit.
That's what I say.
The ego. The curriculum of the ego is for you to get to know you better so you can manage better. The curriculum of the Holy Spirit is for you to get to know you better so you can manage better.
So you could see that in somebody else as well as your own ego and Holy Spirit. They're ego and Holy Spirit.
Bingo.
That's what we're projecting. I mean, that's... Hey.
Yep. And it's only two choices and two voices. Yeah. Not 17.
Oh, I like that sign too.
And it's out of the book. And it's not that you're going to learn a new one or have one invented. There's the truth of what you are. You will learn to hear. It's already there because it's what you are. Or there's the ego that's made up. And it's chaotic and it's all the same level of chaos.
So that's where...
There's no neutral, thank you. You have been reading your Course in Miracles. It's true. There's no neutral. That's another one of these early lessons that you just bust your ego on. There is no neutral. Boy, you'd like to think that you're neutral sometimes, right? You don't really. This political thing is really, no, neutral. Wait. You know, it's up or down. There's no neutral.
So that's where you could see the innocence
yes.
of somebody. It's just see the Holy Spirit instead of... So that's kind of that spiritual and the physical world, kind of that you got to make that differentiation of... Because if you look at people, you're kind of suspect of people. But if you see him as Holy Spirit...
Yeah.
You know, being in chaos here in this world.
Yep.
We're all crazy anyways, but spirit knows differently.
Crazy is kind of the uniform to play thoroughly in this world.
Yeah.
You have to work on being healthy, wealthy, and wise to be happy in this world, which is all crazy in this world.
And needy and greedy.
Each of those things just... and needy and greedy. Oh, good. I got five more. Two more things to work on.
Dr. Seuss. Excellent.
I love it. I love it.
So, seeing innocence means in a way, I am following the holy... I'm following the ego. The other person's following the ego. And the truth is, we're both... choosing the wrong teacher.
You bet. If you're arguing about it, you're not going to be able to share with the wrong teacher.
But it's not about the other person at all.
Now,
I guess what I'm saying is, if I'm wanting to see innocence, if I think of myself as innocent, then they're also innocent. If mm-hmm. I'm choosing the wrong mm-hmm. teacher, they're choosing mm-hmm. the wrong teacher.
That's right. Innocent. In them, you will either find yourself or lose yourself. You'll find your innocence or you will lose your innocence. Excellent. Good job.
Yeah. Innocent little ones do not argue.
That's so true.
Yes, they do.
Check it out.
There we go.
Continue.
There is nothing else to seek. Everyone is looking for himself and for the power and glory he thinks he has lost.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them. Your power and glory are in him because they are yours.
Your power and glory are your power and glory. Please continue.
The ego tries to find them in yourself alone.
Key word about the ego is alone. Mm-hmm. This book, another vector of this book, that we will have to study further to understand the dynamics of the ego is this idea of being alone. Bingo. It's very easy to be separate if alone is true. We're going to hit that pretty heavy. But continue. Go ahead and continue.
Because it does not know where to look. The Holy Spirit teaches you that if you look only at yourself, you cannot find yourself. Mm-hmm. Because that is not what you are.
You've got to read that sentence again. It's so fundamental. It's metaphysical Course in Miracles.
The Holy Spirit teaches you that if you look only at yourself, you cannot find yourself.
Wow.
Because that is not what you are.
Because that is not what you are. That's pretty heavy stuff. It's a very simple statement of the truth that would need unpacking. But this is telling you up front, straight up, that you will not find yourself in yourself alone. It's not what you are. Wow. It goes on. It explains. Please continue.
Wherever you are with a brother... you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are.
And that word with is key. Mm-hmm. The word sharing is our topic tonight. So when you are sharing with a brother, this is when you're exposed to what you actually are. Mm. Direct opposite of being alone, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You cannot share alone, can you? Good, please continue.
He will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following.
I want you to underline you right there, so that next time you read this, you bark that word out. Because he will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. Hmm. You mean it's up to me? I'm telling you, it's an inside job.
Everything's up to you.
This is your kingdom. Yes. He will respond with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. Big insight to what's really going on here. Please continue.
Brings it back home.
Brings it back home.
He will be imprisoned or released according to your decision, and so will you. Never forget your responsibility to him, because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him his place in kingdom, in the kingdom, and you will have yours.
It's the key. This is the key to waking up your mind from separation and competition. The next paragraph has got some meat for us, too. You ready, Kenny?
Yeah. The kingdom cannot be found alone, and you who are the kingdom cannot find yourself alone. To achieve the goal of the curriculum, then you cannot listen to the ego, whose purpose is to defeat its own goal. The ego does not know this because it does not know anything. Lesson five. Okay, what? But you can know it, and you will know it if you are willing to look at what the ego would make of you. This is your responsibility, because once you have really looked at it, you will accept the atonement for yourself. What other choice could you make? Having made this choice, you will understand why you once believed that when you meet anyone else, you thought he was someone else.
When you met someone else, you thought he was someone else. What is this crazy talk? But that's right. Wow, I'm going to tell you, it's reaching high here. Please continue.
In every holy encounter in which you enter fully will teach you that this is not so.
It's not so. That they're not another. This, yeah. It's sharing we're talking about. Real sharing. You get an insight to what's actually going on. Flip back to our reading tonight on page 432.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So when it says, though, in this, these paragraphs we've been reading,
yes,
that give salvation to whomever you meet.
Yes.
For me, that now sounds like if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit as my teacher,
yes,
just in doing that, I am giving salvation.
Yes, you will. Okay. You will be giving salvation, listening to your Holy Spirit. There'll be sanity. And your Holy Spirit might sound a lot like Lesson 5. Just coincidentally. Oh, wait a minute. He's all upset. And I think it's at me, but he's not upset for the reason he thinks. Because I'm not upset for the reason I think. When I'm upset, that's your Holy Spirit counseling you to chill out for a minute. Just be present. This person's calling for love. What?
And somehow or another he receives that.
It's right. It's not about... Yeah. He does receive that when your shoulders drop. Like you beautifully said. We've all been there. A bunch of heat starts out in a conversation. Something happened where it just de-escalated because honesty occurred. It de-escalated. And you joined and you both thanked each other. Love happened. When it was going to be disastrous. That potential is always there.
It doesn't have to be an out loud thing.
Correct. You bet. I'm telling you, you communicate a lot with your body more than you know. Mm-hmm. Without saying a word. Mm-hmm. It's really true. Okay, page 432, paragraph 3. Julie, you want to read that for us?
Yeah, goodness. Your insane laws were made to guarantee that you would make mistakes and give them power over you by accepting their results as your just due.
The ego.
What could this be but madness? And is it this that you would see within your savior from insanity? He is as free from this as you are, and in the freedom that you see in him, you see your own. For this you share. What God has given follows his laws and his alone, nor is it possible for those who follow them to suffer the results of any other source.
Two voices, two choices, two teachers.
Two preachers.
You're going to get the one that you listen to. This is a power that is yours. Look again at workbook page 410. We haven't been there yet tonight. Look at page 410 in the workbook, in the back of the book. Page 410. Another one of my favorites because it just tells it like it is. And we're talking about salvation tonight. I thought we should hit this one.
With emphasis on I.
That's right.
Lesson 236.
Number 236.
You got it?
Wait, what?
Punch up that eye for us, Michaeline. Own this. Own it.
I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule. At times it does not seem I am its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think and what to do and feel. And yet it has been given me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. Today I give it service to the Holy Spirit to employ as He sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule, and thus I set it free to do the will of God. Father, my mind is open to your thoughts and closed today to every thought but yours. I rule my mind and offer it to you. Accept my gift, for it is yours to me.
This is in your power to set the goal before you get in and share a conversation with somebody. Ray, everybody turn to the Manual for Teachers, page 18, paragraph 3.
Very back
of the book. Almost page the very back 18. if you have the third edition. It says Manual for Teachers on the top of the page.
Which page?
18.
Okay.
And so, let's bust the ego a bit. Let's see what it takes to do this. You ready, Ray?
Which one are you on?
Number three.
What is the single requisite for the shift and perception? It is simply this: the recognition that sickness is of the mind and has nothing to do with the body. What does this recognition cost? It costs the whole world, you see, for the world will never again appear to rule the mind. For with this recognition is responsibility placed where it belongs, not with the world, but on him who looks on the world and sees it as it is not. He looks on what he chooses to see, no more and no less.
Wow, that sounds like salvation being stated again in the back of the book. You can give it up as easy as you made it up.
The world does nothing to him. He only thought it did. Nor does he do anything to the world, because he was mistaken about what it is. Herein is the release from guilt and sickness both, for they are one. Yet to accept this release, the insignificance of the holy of the body must be an acceptable idea.
Yeah, that's A Course in Miracles for sure, right? Yeah. All over that paragraph. So that should pretty much put the job squarely in your choice. Let's have a circle. You are not the victim. Take a deep breath. And I hope tonight, going forward for the rest of your life, you recognize that you're sharing all the time. You're sharing your beliefs. You're sharing your goal for whatever situation you find yourself in. Set the goal ahead of time with your Holy Spirit. Choose something nice like peace or helpfulness. Share something good, because you will be sharing. Thank you. Amen.
That we have no choices.
That we have no choices. That's it, Ray. Thank you.
I love it. I don't know. So where are you going, Cameron?